God our Father, we pray that you will speak into our lives as we listen, with our ears, but more than that, that we listen with our hearts, our souls, that we will be open to you, your presence, your love, the Holy Spirit, that we will give our lives over in self-emptying to you, that we will know your grace, your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is the second in our sermon series through 1 Corinthians. St. Paul, as I'm sure you remember from a couple of weeks ago, writes this letter in about AD 54. And it's just 3 years after he's helped found the church in Corinth on his second missionary journey. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 18. Through his letter, Paul is dealing with the immaturity of attitude and belief amongst the Christians in Corinth. And such immaturity is, of course, not surprising, as the members of the church in Corinth had only been Christians for 2 or 3 years. It is much more startling, maybe, that Paul's words can be so relevant today in our churches, where many have been members of a church for years and years. Being mature in faith, attitude, and belief is central to Paul's writings and his ministry. In his letter to the church at Colossae, he says his aim, the aim of his whole ministry, is to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Colossians 1, 28. So we all need to grow up, be mature in our faith. But what does this mean? What does a mature Christian look like? So it's going to be helpful to first look at signs that we may lack maturity, things that Paul has noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, you may want to have your Bibles there at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 open. So what does Paul tell us that the signs that we lack maturity? First, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, when we attach ourselves to particular Christian leaders, styles, experiences of church. If you remember from that last sermon, we saw that Paul is astounded that members of the church in Corinth are aligning themselves to church leaders. Some aligned themselves to the old bod, Paul, who was their leader before. Some are saying the great new person is Apollo, the leader of the church then in Corinth. And some looked to Cephas, Peter, the great Christian leader. And apparently there were some others who are simply saying, I follow Christ. Those who think they don't need to be committed to a church fellowship. Those who think maybe that all that matters is my spiritual top up. And also, as Paul tells us, all of this is just nonsense. Of course, Christian leaders have a vital role to play. We can be helped and inspired, hopefully, by sermons. I hope you may possibly be today. We're inspired by books and talks, refreshed by retreats and Christian festivals. But these things are not the root of spiritual maturity. A second sign that we lack spiritual maturity that Paul identifies in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is demanding miraculous signs. Paul confronts this in chapter 1, verse 22. He says, Jews demand miraculous signs. And so may be the case for us. Of course we pray for miracle, for God's gracious work in our lives, and we rejoice when we see this happen, signs of the kingdom. But miracles are always just signs. They are not the main thing. They are not the ground of Christian maturity. A third expression of lacking spiritual maturity that Paul identifies is indulging in faith as a kind of mind game. Again, in chapter 1, verse 22, Paul says, Greeks look for wisdom. First century Greeks loved a good discussion. Even better, a rousing argument. They were the descendants of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and more. Great thinkers with, of course, much to stimulate and teach us, but actually incapable of getting to the crux of who we are because they did not know Christ. So Greeks could spend hours going round and round in chat and debate about the meaning and purpose of life, seeking more knowledge through the human means of gaining understanding, seeing, hearing, thought, and never getting anywhere. And it may be that for people in our churches, faith is a bit like that. Mind games, happy to discuss all sorts of things about life, the Christian faith, but again, never actually getting anywhere. So Paul tells us that the route of Christian maturity is not about externals. It is not about Christian speakers or worship experiences or miracles or clever thinking and talking. When we overemphasize these things, we have succumbed to worldly wisdom, the world's way of thinking. When what we need, Paul tells us, for Christian maturity is rooted in accepting foolishness. That is the foolishness of God, his revelation in Jesus Christ. Christian maturity is about recognizing that according to worldly perceptions, our God is foolish, and then giving our lives over to such foolishness. God becoming man is foolishness. God loving and serving as a man, Jesus, is foolishness. God being mocked, tortured, crucified, dying is foolishness. God choosing the foolish things of the world to shame the wise is foolish. God's ways are not the world's ways. For Christian maturity, we have to be similarly foolish, letting go of the world's ways. We have to let go of our ego, humble ourselves, and be rooted, centered, focused in Christ, being open to his Holy Spirit. Paul tells the Corinthians that when he was with them, he did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 1. St. Paul would not have got on the big Christian speaker circuit. He did not have wise and persuasive words. Verse 4. For Paul, the only thing he could come with was just knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 2. With a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Verse 4 again. The Corinthians could clearly see a demonstration of the Spirit's power in the changed person that Paul was. And so this is the root of Christian maturity, knowing that all you need is Christ, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, working out your faith together with other Christians. That is all you need for Christian maturity, to know you need Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, working out your faith together with other Christians. So the route to Christian maturity is so simple, but also so difficult. Christian maturity grows with an ongoing emptying of the self, giving our life over to Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work that we serve others. This is actually hard work. Christian maturity is hard work. Paul refers to his focused struggle in his discipleship through his letters. See, those of you who can see the screen, there's lots of verses there from Philippians chapter 3, what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, where he says there, I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, and even participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I recognize I haven't already obtained this. I haven't already arrived at my goal. I press on. I forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And Paul says all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Paul tells us then that straining towards, pressing on, are essential to Christian maturity. Ongoing daily self-emptying, handing your life over to Christ, requires a focused effort. Keeping spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible reading, fasting can be hard. Being committed to one another in the local church is demanding. The life of Christian maturity, of doing all this, committing ourselves to Christ, serving, giving, can seem at times like complete foolishness. And it is. It is the foolishness of God. And two things can sustain us: the prize to come and our current experience of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul is clear that his true home is heaven. There is a prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he quotes Isaiah, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Glory awaits in our maturing in Christ. And now, in this time, as ever, we are not alone. We have the Paraclete, the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Paul refers in chapter 2, verse 6, to a message of wisdom among the mature that he can give. A message of wisdom among the mature that he can give. And that message of wisdom is simply the revelatory presence and power of the Holy Spirit. When we accept that the path to maturity is in Christ alone, opening ourselves to his Spirit, we can receive and be blessed. We receive this message for the mature. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Chapter 10, verse 2, verse 10 of chapter 2. He goes on to tell us that human wisdom can never bring such truth and understanding and experience. Our fundamental reality is spiritual. We need the Holy Spirit to truly know. Such openness to the Holy Spirit, astonishingly, Paul says, leads us to have the mind of Christ, verse 16. To have the mind of Christ is real Christian maturity. So I pray for you. I pray that you're on the road to being fully mature in Christ. I pray that you will know the only way to enter into the fullness of all that God has for you now and in the prize to come is the way of the foolishness of God, of self-emptying and filling by the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will have the mind of Christ. Amen.